Okay, here we go. Put your hands together as Bethrin comes to preach.
Wow. I didn't see that coming. Isn't God good? So wonderful. By the way, just a hint, I love flowers. Just thought I'd let you know that. Let me just see. I don't think I need my glasses, actually. I've got Nat, my daughter Nat, to do it in 24 print. So, wow. I'm just so many different emotions this morning. I said to Rod before we came, I said, we're really doing this. We didn't see this coming. And so I am so confident in a loving Heavenly Father who sees the beginning from the end. And for those of you who were here with me when I preached last time, I said that he's not just the author of our salvation, but he's also the finisher. And he's going to be faithful to finish the good work that he started in us. So I want to thank David and Rochelle, the church board and leadership team, for entrusting me with the privilege of serving you all and for the honour of being part of this wonderful community of believers. So what I thought I would do this morning is share with you my why, and you'll understand as we go on what that means. But my faith journey and the way that the Lord has directed me here to Gosnells is just been so wonderful, and I want to engage with you this morning in a conversation, because as I share with you just a little bit of the journey, I'm hoping there's going to be a heart exchange where you're going to resonate in your heart and your life with the goodness, with the faithfulness that you have experienced along your faith journey. And you will identify moments in your life where you have experienced a but God, a suddenly that comes and you weren't expecting it. So will you pray with me this morning? Father, I thank you for every heart that is in this room this morning. I thank you that every person is being called and chosen by an eternal God. And I pray this morning, as I just share my heart with this magnificent group of people, that there would be a personal encounter with you, that you would speak into every heart this morning, and that people would be energized, people would be set free, people would walk out of here this morning knowing that they are called, knowing that they are chosen, knowing that they are a daughter and a son of the Most High God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there was this little six-year-old girl who used to stand on the back steps of her grandparents' home in Maylands. You know those ones that you see on stilts? And with a redemption hymnal, it was red. Anyone remember the red redemption hymnals? And I would be leading the congregation that consisted of dolls, teddies, pandas, because we had to have boys and girls represented. And I would lead enthusiastically singing number 48 in the red hymnal, "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done." Then I would preach a resounding gospel message exhorting every doll and teddy to give their lives to Jesus and make him the Lord of their life. That same little six-year-old would also be found on other days with a blackboard and those same teddies and pandas, drilling them in their times tables and giving them a stamp on their pad when they got the answer correct. So, two passions. There was school teaching and there was the ministry. And these passions have driven me forward to this moment where I find myself saying yes to the senior pastors of Real Life Church to come onto their ministry team. And so what I thought I would share with you is just a little bit of the background. I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 11 years of age. On a Sunday night after church, I responded to the altar call to accept Jesus and encounter him personally. And so at that same time, my parents were the Sunday school superintendents at Hyde Park AOG. And at 11, I was teaching Sunday school to the 3- and 4-year-olds. At 15 years of age, I was invited to be on the youth group committee, and I found myself hosting and speaking at church services on Friday nights. Now, sometimes the reason why I was doing that was because the boys wouldn't. And so at that time, in sort of the history of the church, it was predominantly male leaders, and so it was quite unusual for a girl to actually be getting up and doing those things. But I just had this resonating yes to whatever God wanted in my life, and that was the thing that spurred me on. So by 19, I was the assistant youth leader with Ken Fletcher. Some of you will know him. He was our youth pastor, and I used to mentor and encourage many of the youth that came through. At 25, I answered a call to do a pastoral care position at a church in Wigan in England. And after my time there, I fulfilled my lifelong dream and went back to uni and became a primary school teacher. Then, very quickly, while I was at uni, I met my husband, Rod, and I told him it would take years to have a baby, and I got pregnant on our honeymoon. And he said to me, "And you expect me to trust you after this?" And so I was a full-time mum, but I also did some relief teaching along the way. In 2006, Pastor David Storer invited me onto the full-time staff to do women's ministry and pastoral care at Perth, what was then Perth Christian Life Centre. Now, this was a huge decision as I had to decide between the two great passions of my life: school teaching, which I was getting to do more of and really enjoying, and pastoral ministry. So I cheekily said to David, I said, "I'll give it a go, but I'll go back to teaching if I don't like working with you." And he laughed. And 13 years on staff, I felt with a lot of the changes that had happened that my season there had come to an end. So I've been doing some relief primary school teaching at Thornley Christian College. A lot of you will relate to that school. And it ignited the joy that I find myself having every time I'm in a school classroom. But once again, there was this tug, there was this pull. And it was just, I loved going back and doing something that I was so passionate about. But I was just at a place of saying, "God, you know, has my season finished?" And it was a tug, it was a pull. And so for those of you who may not know my background, that kind of takes us to where we are now, and I just wanted to take a little bit of time to give you an opportunity to know me a little bit better and the sorts of things that I have been privileged to be involved with. Well, several years ago, I attended a seminar by a guy from Bradford in England called Paul Scanlon, and he asked everyone in the room that day, "What is your why?" I'm going to say that again. What is your why? And so this morning, I would like to share my why with you all. But let me start by explaining what that actually means. What is your why? It's your personal why is the things in your life that energize you, that when you do them, it makes you feel like you're fulfilling your God-given destiny and purpose in life. It kind of feels like, your why feels like what you were born to do and to be. And it makes you come alive on the inside. So as I began to explore my why, I discovered that a lot of the answer was to be found in the things I found myself doing instinctively and with ease. And it kind of is a funny story that we have at home, because sometimes when I would go down to the shopping centre, I would say, "I'm just racing down for some milk." And I'd come back, you know, 45, 50 minutes later, and Rod would go, "I thought you were only going down for milk." I said, "Well, I saw you know, Mr. So-and-so in aisle 7, I saw Mrs. So-and-so in aisle 10, and they were talking to me about what they were going through, and it was just kind of happened like that. And so I just found myself in situations where people were sharing their stories and their challenges. And I just was following these God prompts and acting on them without even realizing. Now, it was one of those God prompts that led me to say yes to David and Rochelle and to work here at Real Life Church. And I start in just a few weeks. Let me explain. Now, I'd love to be able to say that I'm one of those people that sees angels and they visit me, and that one night I heard God's booming loud audible voice commanding me to come to Real Life Church. But that would not be true. You see, the only thing I kept hearing God say to me after my season finished was, Bethwyn, keep going after the one. Because a part of my why has been based on the parable of the lost sheep, found in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, where the shepherd leaves his flock of 99 in order to find the one which is lost. So, the first thing I did, I met and chatted with David and Rochelle, and then probably about 6 weeks ago, I came to the Wednesday meeting that you have here, and I was so incredibly inspired by the ministry that Kevin heads up with the food and just the whole outreach that's occurring here in the life of our church. And as I left, in the honesty of my heart, there was no resounding yes, I'm meant to be here. Truth. So remember that all I've got so far is Bethwyn, keep going after the one. So I leave, say goodbye, and out I go onto the street out here. What's the name of the street? Yeah. And I'm out on the street. And it's been my observation, because I always come to Gosnells to go to the Chemist Warehouse. And I do. It's true. Because I'm a bit of a, you know, vitamins and minerals girl, and so, you know, I get my stuff from there. So I come to Gosnells very regularly, and there's always lots of people walking on the streets. It's quite a busy feel to this suburb, to Gosnells. And so I'm out on the road, and my car's parked down that way, and I come out onto the road, and I notice, unusually, I'm the only one on the street. And I think, it's unusual for Gosnells. But there's one other person that's approaching me, coming the other way. Now, as I approach this person, I see by her dress that she is of a particular faith that is not always well received. And I see that the closer she gets to me, her head is bowed very low. And I am compelled by a God prompt. And this well of compassion is inside of me as I approach her. And as we get closer to each other, I say to her, "Hello, how are you today?" Well, she raises her bowed head in surprise. And she looks at me as though amazed that I would even acknowledge her on the street when there's just the two of us. And it is just a momentary God prompt. But you see, Real Life Church, this is not the first time that the Lord has led me clearly through what might seem a very insignificant, ordinary day, an ordinary moment. And I am immediately reminded that the only really clear direction the Lord has been saying to me is this: keep going after the one. And so I go home to my husband Rod and to my daughter Nat, and I tell them of my experience with this lady on the street. And I said, wouldn't it be so great if I could be instrumental and play my part in seeing people from all walks of life in Gosnells who might be oppressed and bowed down, come to know Jesus. Wouldn't that just be so cool? And so The second aspect to the why in my life is to call out the champion that I see in everyone I come in contact with, to see people in the same way that Jesus sees them. Not as they are, that's it, just as they can be. And that every person, despite the colour of their skin or the darkness of their past, has been designed by the Master Creator for greatness, even though they can't see that in themselves. That through the power of life-giving words and giving opportunities to people that may not look like they fit the bill to succeed, to grow, that they can become the people that God ordained them and meant them to be. That people whose heads have been bowed down low, like the woman I met on the street that day, could lift their heads high with dignity and respect because their life, their destiny and their future were determined by the hand of the Master Designer. And I am inspired and spurred on by the words of John Wesley. And it's interesting because as I was zipping to the toilet, I saw that you've got it on your wall and it says this: do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. And I have found that by living in the truth of the Word of God that says in Lamentations 3:21, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And that every single morning, Real Life Church, we get apportioned new, fresh opportunities to have another go, to get a second chance and a third and a fifth, to put the past behind us and with God's strength and ability be the person that God destined and called us to be. So with God's help, I am here to call out the champion in you and you and you. To believe in you and cheer you on even if you don't believe in yourself. To boldly declare over you in words and actions that you can walk with your head held high, not bowed down with condemnation and regret, because you're called, you're chosen, you're a daughter and a son of the Most High God, who is for you and not against you, who is absolutely crazy about you and is incredibly proud of who you are right now, but also who he is destined for you to become. And I have witnessed how the words we speak to each other, especially as believers, hold such weight and power. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat its fruit. Ephesians 4, 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Proverbs 15, 4. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Another aspect to my why has been to talk with hundreds of families about broken and fractured relationships between parents and children, distant and close relatives, wives, husband, that have been caused by words that have been spoken that have caused a great wedge and heartache and resulted in unforgiveness and estrangement. And I have endeavoured to help bring peace and reconciliation to all kinds of relationships as a mediator, as an advocate in sometimes hostile circumstances. And I have exhorted and implored families to seek peace and actively pursue it. I'm going to say that again. Seek peace and actively pursue it. Go after it. Go after it. If there's not peace in a circumstance in your life, go after it fiercely. I'm going to do whatever is required to bring peace to this circumstance. It is far more important to seek peace than seek to be proved right. I'm going to say it again. It is far more important to seek peace than seek to be proved right. Sometimes we have to swallow our pride in order to maintain healthy relationships. We have to ask God to give us his ability to let things go. There are so many stories that I could share with you about the profound breakthroughs that I've seen in the lives of many who are broken and struggling. And I've had the privilege for the last 15 years of calling out the champion in a young man who lost everything after a mental breakdown and lay comatose for 6 weeks in a hospital ward, his family not knowing if he would ever come out of this state and live again. But even in that terrible state, I started to pray and call out the greatness in him. I saw that that young man had a calling, had an anointing on his life. And over the last 15 years, I have met with him with scriptures of encouragement, with prophetic insight to help him see that God had a great plan for him despite the huge obstacles that he faced. To call out that champion in him, using truths from the Word of God to help him to walk in his calling and destiny. I can testify today as I stand here that I actually caught up with him last week. And we had a coffee and he has begun his own ministry, helping those in similar situations to his. And he lives a stable, happy life with his wife and children. I met a beautiful young woman about six years ago in the Connect Lounge of the church I worked in. She had made a huge moral mistake and her life was a complete mess. Everything had broken down. Her opening words to me were, "I've stuffed up my whole life. I need a new start and I'm willing to do anything. I'll clean the toilets. I'll do anything." And in that moment in the Connect Lounge, I saw her sincerity and the deep regret of her unwise decision. So I began to meet with her every week to restore hope to her situation. I spoke words of life to her and reminded her that God's word says, "It's your loving kindness that leads us to repentance." And as she sat under great teaching, not by me, by Pastor David, and got restored, I began to give her more and more opportunities to be on teams in our church. And to slowly God totally started to restore her life. And she began to forgive herself for her past. And in February of this year, I had the joy, Pastor Tony actually performed the ceremony. Pastor Tony McCubbin is here this morning. He's on my cheer team. Thanks for coming, Tony. And Pastor Tony actually married this couple. And there was a wonderful Christian guy who was on our music team. He had also been through a very difficult past. And they met each other, came together through church. And we were able to witness their marriage just on February the 23rd of this year. God had given her a new beginning. Amen. He had not allowed those things of the past to dictate her future. Yes. The other facet to the why in my life has been to walk with many people, both in church but also in the wider community through the curveballs of life. I never saw that coming in life. And the tension of parallels that each one of us faces, we're right alongside the blessings, the love and the provision of our loving Father comes the most heartbreaking hardship and trials, and nobody is exempt. Because what I have seen is I've had the privilege of walking with so many families through the terrible loss of their own children, through sickness, fatal car accidents and suicide. And I have walked with people through the huge disappointment of failed relationships and broken dreams. I've also journeyed with those who've had personal struggles with addictions and weaknesses that they battle and struggle with on a daily basis, and been there to cheer them on and say, "You can do all things through Christ who gives you his ability and his strength." That's why I love that inspirational saying that says, "Be especially kind to everyone you meet, because everyone is fighting some sort of personal battle." While scripture clearly alerts us to the fact that we will indeed have trouble in this life, I don't know about you, but so often it takes us by surprise. Anyone say yes and amen? 1 Peter 4 verse 12 says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." James says, "Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colours. But you know what I can confidently say is that God has been so faithful over and over again that he is not a liar, that he is faithful to all of his promises." And in Psalms it says, "I have been young and now I am old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. And I have witnessed and seen with my own eyes our Father God bringing good out of the most horrendously difficult circumstances, where he has turned injustices into great victories." Psalm 92:15 says, "To proclaim the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and in him there is no unrighteousness." I believe that part of being a follower of Christ is to do what God calls us to do. Romans 12:15, "Rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep." There are seasons in life. Zechariah 7 verse 9. This is what the Lord Almighty says, "Administer true justice, show faithful love and compassion to one another." In what seemed like a very short space of time, the church that I was ministering in, Life City Church, formerly Perth Christian Life Centre, experienced two tragic youth deaths through fatal car accidents. The fatal car accidents were two beautiful young ladies who were on our worship team, and also two heartbreaking suicides. And as a church family, these were incredibly difficult years. And our congregation grieved again and again and again. And my highest priority, because I was doing pastoral care in the church, was to meet every week with the parents who were devastated and mourning, whose lives would never actually be the same again, because they had to grapple with the reality that they would not see their children this side of heaven. And so I listened, I supported, I cried with them as they tried to reconcile the faith dilemma of why would a loving father allow this to happen to my child. And to not attempt to use Christian platitudes to make them feel better, but to simply mourn with those who mourn. So I sat with them in their homes, I sat with them in coffee shops. I think I could probably do a commentary of the coffee shops, probably in the whole of the South Side. And I sat with them as they were going over and over what happened and trying to get their heads around it. And ever so slowly seeing each one of them in their own way and their own time start to live again and believe again. And, you know, I believe as a society that we're not really listening to one another and allowing people the freedom to mourn. We as Christ followers are all called to compassion and mercy. It is not exclusive to those with a mercy or pastoral gift in their life. So I have shared with you my why this morning, in the hope that after what I shared, you will feel that you have a glimpse of my heart and just know me and what I'm about just that little bit more. And here I am. I hope that some of the stories that I have shared with you and the whys of my life will be a blessing to you in the season that you are in. That you will understand that the Word of God gives us the keys to cope with any situation that may come our way. These same scriptures give us the tools, not just here in church, but out there in our community, to minister and offer hope to others. And I hope this morning that what I've shared with you has only, you will understand, it's only been possible because God has been my strength. He's been my ability. And he has given me wisdom, guidance and help in order for me to help others. And I take no credit for that, because all I simply did was I just said yes. Whatever that looks like, God, I say yes. Yeah? And there's a lot of people out there that actually say no. But I want to be in the crowd that says yes. So, are you walking in the God-given destiny on your life? Are you frustrated in your why, or energized and alive on the inside? I don't know every one of you here, but I'm posing that question to you this morning. Because what I'd like you to do right now is to bow your heads and to close your eyes. I don't know your story, but there may be those of you here today who don't know God personally. And I want to extend an invitation to anyone here who, as I've been speaking, there's been responses that have been happening in your emotions, inside of your heart. And today, you're noticing and feeling that there is a gap, a God gap in your life. And I want to invite you today to accept him into your heart and life, that he wants to link arms with you and walk with you. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your friend, your confidant. He is a God of faithfulness without injustice. And so if you are a person this morning that says, I'd actually like to know God personally, I'd like to encounter him for myself, then what I'd love you to do is simply just to raise your hand high so I can see it, because I want to include you as I pray this morning. Fantastic. Wonderful. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. That's wonderful. So what I would love you to do is, as I say this prayer this morning, those of you who have raised your hand, I would like you to repeat this. And real life, would you say this with me to help those people who have responded this morning? Dear Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart and life today. Please forgive me of all my sins. Be the Lord of my life. From this time forward, I want to live for you. Amen.